Testament reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle comes from 2 Corinthians. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from today's epistle reading found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me read you just a few of the verses again. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Your enter text. In a famous Edgar Allan Poe short story, The Purloined Letter, a thief steals a valuable letter from a noblewoman of France. Although the police know who the criminal is and that he's hidden the letter somewhere in his apartment, they can't find it, even using the most sophisticated and exhaustive methods at their disposal. Finally, they call in the great detective, Auguste Dupin, and he finds the stolen letter, not stashed away in the hollow piece of furniture or hidden away in some secret compartment, but placed in a plain envelope on the top of the thief's desk, hidden in plain sight. Could the same thing be said of the Christian church? Like the purloined letter of the story, we often appear to be hidden in plain sight. There are lots of Christian congregations here in the greater Portland area. Some are large, some are small. Some represent old mainline denominations. Others have no denomination affiliation at all. They have websites, Facebook accounts, and they advertise on the internet. They take an active interest in the neighborhoods in which they exist and support a wide variety of programs to help the needy. There's little doubt that the Christian congregations of the greater Portland area are in the plain sight of their communities. Yet would the people who live in our communities consider the Christian churches in our area to be valuable? That probably would depend on who you talk to. But I think it could be said without fear of contradiction that on the whole, the majority of the people who live in our communities do not see the Christian church, any Christian church, to be an essential part of our communities. If they did, even given the large number of churches in our area, every one of them would be bursting at the seams on Sunday morning. The fact that they're not suggests that despite our visibility, we and every other Christian church in the Portland area are hidden, unappreciated, and for that reason seemingly incapable of making much of an impact on the unchurched people of our communities. Well, what can we do about that? Let's be honest. In spite of what this morning's text tells us, deep down inside, most of us as Christians do proclaim ourselves. Think about the last time you talked about your congregation to an unchurched friend. What did you tell them? Did you tell them how friendly the members of your congregation are? Did you tell them about the wonderful, inspiring sermons that you hear from your vacancy pastors during this time? Do you tell them about the excellent program of Christian education that you conduct through Sunday school, through adult Bible classes in your preschool, or the wonderful music you enjoy in worship? You do indeed have much to be proud of as a congregation here at Christ the Vine. Yet none of that is the treasure spoken of by the Apostle Paul in this morning's text. For that is all proclaiming ourselves. And when we're honest, and we do so, we often set ourselves up for disappointment. For we're forced to admit we're not a perfect congregation. None of us is. And though we may point to our successes, there are many areas of congregation life in which we probably fall short. We are not all that we could be, or that we know we should be. Our attendance at worship, our Bible study, our stewardship of the gifts with which God has entrusted us, our witness to others in our community, our care for those in need are often at best half-hearted. As a church, we have our share of weaknesses and wounds, many of them self-inflicted. When we're tempted to proclaim ourselves, we find that we too are like common clay jars, with no value of our own, with nothing about us that sets us apart from the crowd or gives us unique worth in the eyes of the unchurched in our communities. When we realize that, we need the corrective supplied by the Apostle Paul in this morning's text. For it is not ourselves that we preach, We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. In that way, Paul draws our attention away from ourselves to the true source of power for all mission and ministry by the church. The God who said, "Out of darkness the light shall shine," is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts to bring us to the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. As sinners on our own, in a world that does not acknowledge its creator, we are quite literally in the dark, with no sense of direction, bumping into other people and things, hurting ourselves and others in the process. Yet through his only Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, God turned the lights on, helping us not only to see our dire situation as sinners, but to see the wonder of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. That love was so great that it led Jesus to become a real human being on our behalf, to walk the path of servanthood all the way to Calvary's cross. There he suffered and died in our place, taking upon himself the punishment that we deserved for all of our sins, giving us in their place complete forgiveness. Jesus' resurrection from the dead on that first Easter morning stands out for us as the promise that we too will one day rise from our graves to spend eternity with him in heaven. It's that message that the non-Christian people in our community are literally dying to hear. They have a God who loves them too. As the church, we have been given the high privilege of sharing that good news with them. But it's not an easy thing to do. For as we seek to share that message, we face the opposition of the devil, the sinful values of our fallen world, and our own weakness and sin. Yet we never face that opposition alone. God doesn't always remove the obstacles that we face, but he does always stand by us, giving us the strength to endure. In that way, we may be troubled, but not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There may be enemies, but we find that we are never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not dismayed. Finally, we have the assurance that God can take our weak efforts, the common clay pots that we so often are as Christian people, with all our flaws and our failures, and still use them to accomplish his purpose, to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. And so as God's people, as a congregation of Christians gathered together in this place, we seek to carry out God's mission by preaching not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. As such, the focus of all that we say and do must be Jesus. And we will proclaim his love for the people of our community and for our world, not only in words, but in deeds. As servants for Jesus' sake, we will make Jesus' servant mindset our own, striving to show to others the same love, the same care, the same forgiveness that he has shown and continues to show to us each and every day. Years ago, I was visiting one of the growing churches in the community I was serving. One of the very first things you noticed when you walked in the main entrance of the building was the congregation's statement of mission, which had been placed in a large sign just over the doors leading to the worship area. It was a good idea, a good way of helping the members of that church focus each Sunday on the reason for their existence as a congregation. Yet as good as that idea is, this morning's text, I think, suggests an even better way. For it calls upon each and every one of us to be a walking, talking statement of mission as we live our lives as Christian people out in the world around us. For when people see us not holding grudges or seeking revenge like the rest of the world, but really living lives of forgiveness, when they see us not simply caring for ourselves and our families, but doing what we can to care for the needs of other people who we may not know. With no ulterior motives, no hidden agenda, but to do God's will. When they see us willingly sacrificing time and energy in order to stand by and support someone who's hurting, then God will get the glory, as people see Jesus reflected in the lives of his people. And the power of that witness is undeniable. May God help us so to believe and so to live, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, may keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.